Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Meh Meh Total Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh. What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hey, did you know Australia invented the world's first seatbelt law in 1970? It's pretty sweet, man. But why am I telling you this? I'm telling you because you are strapped into the Thrill Me Podcast Network right here on Spotify and available on all of your other streaming platforms. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, TeePublic, everywhere. Just throw Thrill Me Podcast Network in your Google machines and all kinds of goodies will pop up for you to check out. But I also told you that fun fact because I'm joined by a couple of dudes from Down Under today on the show. They make up this great two-piece rock band called Atticus Chimps. Their brand new album, Space Exploitation, just came out on November 3rd. So join us as they come on the show. They talk about that album. They talk about their sound, some influences, just, you know, what their progress has been, everything that they have going on. We also talk a little bit about Australia as well. And then stick around after that interview to hear a song from their brand new album called Daydreams. Hey, while we're at it, one more fun fact. There is a mountain called Mount Disappointment in Australia because of its view from the top, man. That's just hilarious. I wanted to throw that in there. And unlike that mountain, this episode, you will not be disappointed. So stick around. Let's go. Joining me is Sam and Dan of the band called Atticus Chimps. And I just want to read their little profile labeling they have from their SoundCloud. It says, Atticus Chimps are an alternative rock band from the Gold Coast of Australia. Their sound can sway from calm and melodic love songs to fast-paced heavy rock anthems that convey a message of dissatisfaction with authority and alienation from society. Right off the rip, I love this band already. So from the sound, from listening to you guys, which I stumbled upon you guys through Amazon Music, if you guys find that hard to believe or not. But yeah, I found out about you guys because you were related to another band I was listening to. And I was like, let me reach out because these guys are awesome. And we got you on the show, man. So I'm greatly appreciative of it. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're doing great. I just had to kind of, I mean, I appreciate the nice words, but hearing that the SoundCloud description read back to me, I kind of realized that's like the one app that I haven't updated in years. So that's like a very old description of when I was in like my early 20s edgelord phase. So thanks for digging that up.
whenever I go to search you guys, it's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's first in the Google search engine. It's kind of weird. I don't know why that is, but yeah, maybe the calm kind of songs have kind of been put on the back burner. I mean, I've shown them to Dan and he didn't like them too much. So they've kind of just become my burners that I'm saving for maybe a side project later down the line. But the rest kind of still stands, maybe expanded on that a little bit more.
Awesome, man. So you've already touched on it a little bit. So why don't we go ahead and dive down that path? Tell me, a two-piece outfit, a two-piece band. Rock and roll, man. That is awesome, dude. So tell me a little bit about that, how your guys' chemistry is, and maybe introduce who you are and what you do in the band.
Yep. So I'm the front man, and Dan, you can probably take it away for this one if you want.
Yeah. I guess I play drums. I wish I could sing, but at this stage, I'm just singing in my own head. But I guess I've been playing with Sam for the last probably, is it 4 years now?
Yeah, it'd be like 4 years.
Maybe 4 years,
next month or December.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came like in the summer of 2019.
Yeah, and I just moved back from Alice Springs. So I was living in the central desert, I guess, and got back to the Gold Coast, got a message from Sam online. We started jamming and, awesome. Yeah, lucky for me, where we live is like actually a really beautiful spot. So we live in the Gold Coast hinterland. So there's lots of, like, it's a beautiful rainforest where we live. Like it's absolutely gorgeous. So we're really, really lucky. And I guess geographically where we are, we're probably like the two guys that are into what we're into. Like, we're probably, there's only a few of us here, if you know what I mean. So it kind of worked out really good because we hooked up and started jamming. And yeah, we were both big fans of very similar bands. And I guess like the chemistry from my end felt really good straight away. So yeah, and I guess like with a couple of our new songs too at the moment, I think it's a little bit more evident now how we've kind of grown together, which is, yeah, just a really great thing. Really fun journey. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. So your sound has evolved over the years is what you're saying. All right. So first question I have, as a fellow drummer who wishes he could sing, in my band, our singer, she plays drums. And that the switch doesn't happen like I'm Taylor Hawkins. I can't go up there and sing. So I'm trying to get to that point. But so when it comes to recording, does somebody handle bass and guitar? Or are we doing like a distorted kind of thing where it's kind of one sound with drums? How does that work with you guys?
So we just track everything separately. Like I'll do like a scratch track, which is just me like playing a rough version to a click. Mm-hmm. During the recording process, then Dan lays down the drums, then I'll play the bass, then either vocals or synthesizer behind that, usually vocals, because that's usually concrete. And then from that, we can dictate what we're going to do with the synth, where it kind of fits in underneath that. So it's all just like laid in traditionally. We don't go in there and kind of just play it all live without a click and just, you know, see how it comes out. It's kind of a bit more, the producer we work with is a bit more, I guess, like, would you say traditional? Like, he's not very...
Yeah, I'd say, like, he's kind of formalized the process. And for us, it feels really natural for us. I guess even, like, the first recording we did with Brad, it was a pretty natural process. So we did a bit of work beforehand, just practicing to a click and, I guess, trying to troubleshoot a few things that might happen. And... yeah, I mean, now we've actually got a little bit more input from our producer as well, which is really cool. So we've got some different ideas coming out now, which is, I guess, just part of that journey and that evolution as well, you know. So we've got a little bit more experimental stuff happening with synths and just, like, I guess all the subtleties are working a lot more towards finding just the little intricate parts that happen in a song and just to build that story a little more. So...
That's really cool, man. The journey that you guys are on, it does kind of seem like the world is maybe trending that way, because you could have one person in a band do everything now and put out songs, which is really cool. But how would you swing that to like a live show? Would you guys have people join you to do different things, or how would that aspect work with you guys?
Yeah, we have a friend of mine named Jeremy who we kind of contract as an instrumentalist at the moment. My initial vision, like when Dan actually joined the band, we actually had a synth player also named Dan.
Dan and Sam.
Yeah. But that didn't work out for various reasons. And the idea of having a synth player went on the back burner for a while. And then I kind of realized like, we don't actually need to have a full-time synth, like another head in the band, synth player per se. Like, we could just, a lot of the synth parts were very simple. I was just writing it myself. It was just an extension. They often play tonality in the chords because I'm just playing single string on a bass. So it's kind of like having a guitar. So I can just kind of write the parts myself, give Jeremy the lead sheets, and he figures it out. And so when we play live, like we'd play two-piece live if we had to. We'd rather not. If we've got someone there that can play keys, then yeah, I'd much, that was my initial vision, was to always be bass, synth and drums, at least from about the year of like 2019, just before Dan joined. Before that, we were also a three piece, but I played guitar, like your traditional three piece, like your Blink, Green Day, Nirvana, like your drums, guitar, bass. But I didn't realize like what you could do with a bass and how you could get that kind of sound. So that after I got into Royal Blood, blood. I kind of changed my tonal direction and started doing that kind of stuff.
And to Jeremy's credit, he's got some decent death growls as well. So it's pretty fun live. So
yeah, it's a good contrast between the two of us.
Yeah, yeah. When you've got like Sam's voice, and then you have this kind of really abrasive growl that comes in, and it's just a great personality to have with us live. So that's a lot of fun.
We're gonna get Dan on the T-Pain auto tune, and then we'll have the.
That's
the
right. Yeah, then we'll be cool.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you brought up Royal Blood, because that's kind of who I was thinking of when I saw the two-piece and kind of thinking of the sound. And then you named off a couple other bands right there. Are those some of your influences? Because when I think traditional three-piece, I'm thinking punk music. But you guys don't really have like a punk sound. You guys are a lot heavier than traditional punk. Almost like a, maybe not quite Motorhead, but you guys are heavy, man. And that's what really kind of drew me toward you guys. So what are some of the influence behind the writing and the playing?
Yeah, so I grew up on a lot of pop punk music. So from a very young age, I was into Green Day, Blink-182, like I said, you know, The Offspring, Sum 41, all that kind of, that was when I was really young. I think Dan and I had a similar kind of music influence trajectory. Like we started off on pop punk and we kind of branched out more into alternative hard rock sounds. And then when I graduated high school in my early 20s and went around the band formed, I got more into those kind of alternative hard rock sounds. And I think if you'd heard our band when we first formed, like 2016, 2017, you'd probably notice a lot more of the punk roots.
Okay.
But the sound has evolved a bit. You'll hear some songs. There are some songs that we play live that we haven't got recorded yet that I think have a bit more of a punk rock bent to it. You may hear it in songs like Not Compatible, Liquid Percussion.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bit of a punk bent to it. But the rest of it, yeah, is more just like alternate hard rock kind of sound, I think.
Cool.
There's definitely, I guess, like for me growing up, I listened to a lot of 70s rock as well. So a lot of my influences from a very young age were the classic Jimi Hendrix, Zeppelin, Sabbath, mm-hmm. and just changing dad's records. You know, that was kind of like one of my fond memories growing up. And I guess from there, I took the classic evolution of what rock and metal did, I guess. And then, going through my teenage years, like Sam said, got into a lot of punk rock and, I guess that seemed to be a real turning point for me, and because I got to know a lot of alternative cultures. So it wasn't just about punk, it was about what was alternative at the time. And I guess you probably, I don't know, like a lot of the stuff that you're into, but there seems to be a lot of bands nowadays that don't quite exactly fit a genre anymore. So there's a lot of bands that are really bending that, the idea of being labeled. And I guess sometimes we might find it difficult actually to fit a bill with other bands, because what we do is, it's not quite, you can't exactly pigeonhole it sometimes. So that might be something we're working towards as well. It's not exactly being pigeonholed, but just really trying to define what we sound like together. So
That's cool, man. And that's something I always talk about. A band that catches my ear is one with versatility. So if you guys can do many things well, I feel like that just helps the songwriting process. And on that note, so we know about your sound, we know about what you guys do. What is the message you're trying to put forth out there in your lyrics and in your songwriting?
I wouldn't say there's any specific message.
We're not like a band with a cause. Like, we're not out trying to, like, this is what our band represents.
Yeah, like, but this is for all the, you know, whatever. Like, I, you know, my songs explore different themes. I try to avoid getting into any kind of, like, political or dogmatic kind of, you know.
Going too far down that rabbit hole, but
exactly.
But there's definitely, like, you've definitely got songs that are about you know, the environment.
Like,
and
misery is about the environment. But I try and do it in a way that's like you can hear it and not know that and still maybe like it could almost be construed as a love song depending on whatever lens you're looking at it through.
And you can enjoy the song without it being a protest song.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. If I ever have a serious song, there's always like a few tongue-in-cheek kind of lyrics in there just to like, I don't know, point out the absurdity of it all. But yeah, I'd say the... Yeah, just your typical kind of mental health kind of stuff, heartbreak, all that kind of stuff that's interwoven into a lot of the songs.
It's kind of like, I actually quite like that about Sam's writing because it's enough to get you in to enjoy the idea, but without having to, like, I guess, jump on either side of the fence. You can explore a theme without having to be, to figure out, oh, where do I stand with this? So, which is pretty cool.
Slight against bands that do that, you know, like Rage Against the Machine, Green Day, they're very political bands.
But, yeah, we love political stuff. We love love songs. Yeah. We love, you know, all that stuff. You know, there's heaps of beautiful stuff out there. So, but yeah, I guess I quite like that about Sam's lyrics because it kind of brings you in to explore what's going on, and it's interesting. Like, well, I find it interesting. Yeah, so.
Cool, man. Cool. I love that, man. You're spreading positivity is the main thing. I'm
not
All right. Well, what led me to that question is the name of the new album, which is coming out November 4th by you guys. It's called Space Exploitation.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that title. That kind of made me feel like you guys were some free thinkers, maybe think outside the box, or maybe you're just a couple guys that you know, enjoy some things and kind of look into outer space a certain way. So tell me a little bit about that name and tell me a little bit about this album. Cause I mean, hey, you guys gave me a solid taste test and I greatly appreciate it. And it is some good stuff on that album, man.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. The term space or exploitation is obviously like a play on exploration, but I actually ripped it, like many would argue, a lot of things in that album from a Chuck Palahniuk novel, Fight Club. That's what it was referring to. And it was he was basically talking about how when humans go interplanetary, they're going to just, you know, the advertisers will just stick their flags in every world and they'll be called like Budweiser World and Snickers Planet. And it would just be corporatized immediately. I thought that was really funny. And so I thought, yeah, it'd be a cool name for an album title.
Yeah,
that's kind of lines up with the opening song as well, Alien Jewelry. It's kind of a space a song about space.
You could definitely go down the rabbit hole with that title, and that's what I like about it. Is like for me, I think of like all types of conceptual ideas around not just being out of space, but the space we have, the space you know. So yeah. For me, like it's like I like the idea of that name taking you down a rabbit hole a little bit. So,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on it anyway?
My thoughts were on the album are awesome, man. Like I said, the sound that you guys have. Well, if we're talking about the title, my first thought is that you guys were just some trippy hippies that were into aliens, and that's what you're talking about. You're talking about finding some aliens out there in the atmosphere. But now I really dig the songs and you know, you're talking about your space, your surroundings around you. I really love that kind of play on words that you're using with it because I did not look at it that way. I looked at it as only a fictional sense, but if you're making it a reality, I love that. And the sense of the songs, I feel like blends perfectly with that title. So, I mean, props to you guys for putting all parts of your brain to work here with these awesome songs, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Cheers. Appreciate Thank you. It. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely took all our brain power, that's for sure.
So let me ask you this question. So whenever I think of I don't mean this in any kind of weird or rude way, but the only band I know of from Australia is AC/DC. What is the music scene like down there? Like you said earlier, there's not that many people like you guys, but what is the music scene like down there?
You know some other bands from Australia. Come on, you know Powderfinger. You know the Bee Gees. Sure. You don't know Powderfinger?
Okay, I don't know that first one you named. I do not.
Damn.
Well, I would probably say, like I was just talking about geographically before, so we just happen to be really close, like living quarters together, which is really good. But look, in terms of the Australian music scene, there is so many great bands in Australia. I guess we're kind of like our own, we are our own little island, Australia. So we have our own thing going on here. And I guess it can be difficult for bands from Australia to get overseas too, because, you know, like if you're a European band, you can do like a 50-day tour of Europe and you don't even have to cross the water, you know, but we have to get on a plane for between 20 and 30 hours to get there to do something or to get to the States. Like it's a really big endeavor. And I guess like where we are in Queensland, I'd probably say, and on the Gold Coast, the music scene where we are is we're in like a really great spot because it's everything's just starting to bloom a little bit. We've had a lot of growth in Queensland after COVID as well. So lots of people have moved to the state. And yeah, we've got venues kicking off, which is a really good thing because I'm not sure how things affected you guys, but and this is because like I don't watch a lot of television. I'm not really up to date all the time, but a lot of venues and a lot of places really suffered obviously over COVID, and so we're in a really, I feel like we're in a good spot where we're starting to get a lot of things off the ground here in Queensland. But Melbourne and Sydney and even Perth, they've got like this beautiful thing that's just so like enriched in the excuse me, in the tapestry of the city. Like it's yeah, like Melbourne's got a cranking scene. I mean, you can go out any night of the week and see metal or whatever you like, and the quality of musicians is incredible. Sydney's very, very similar. And like I totally encourage, if you get the chance to come to Australia and check out Australian music, it is so different to a lot of the stuff you'll see everywhere else. I mean, Australia has its own flavor, it's got its own thing going on. And there are I guess like there's, in comparison to somewhere like the States or you know, the UK, like we probably don't have as many bands doing as many things, but the quality is still there, and we've got something very unique to offer from our country. So but in terms of where we are right now, it's just like I said, it's blooming, it's kicking off. We've got these little venues around the place that are starting to do really good things. And you can feel it like within the venues and within the bands that we're playing with. There's a real organic grassroots thing that happens where we are, and it's a beautiful thing.
Good, man. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So speaking of what you guys have coming out next week, tell us maybe what it's a little bit more in the foreseeable future for you guys.
Yep. So I'll just correct you real quick. It was actually on the 3rd of November, not the 4th. So just for people, I was double checking that maybe it was the time zone difference, but you guys are actually behind it. Wait, no, that would be Saturday for you. So does that come up as the 4th on your like whatever streaming service? It's all right. Never mind. it's the 3rd of November. We haven't got any shows coming up at the minute. It's something we're always working on, always like hustling to get shows. Sometimes they can come up last minute.
And we just came off like a couple of pretty good shows with, it was an Aussie band, Eskimo Joe, who we played with. And that was a sensational gig. And then we actually got to play a show with Strung Out up the Sunshine Coast. And awesome. For me personally, I really enjoyed it because I love Strung Out. I grew up listening to Strung Out, and I got to see, you know, a big influence on me as a kid. And it took me back to my childhood, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the initial plan was to release the album at the beginning of the month, but unfortunately, as a lot of people know with music, you're at the mercy of all the people you're working with, and they got pushed back for various reasons, so we couldn't actually get the song finished in time to release it to promote with these good shows we just played. But I'm sure there'll be some more that come up. But as far as like an international tour or anything of that nature is concerned, it's something we love to do. It's something we get asked about a lot.
We kind of haven't really planned for that yet, but I mean,
well, it's such an expensive thing, and it's hard. Like we don't have any like international booker yet. And it's not really one of those things you can just, as I've discovered, you can just kind of hit them up and be like, yo, do you want to invest like
hey
most
man,
of your life
we're
into
from
us?
The Gold Coast. Yeah. Like,
like they, it seems like it's real. It's becoming more and more apparent to me that they'll come to you. Like in this instance, you've been great. You've been really interested and you hit us up. And if we hit up podcasts, most of the time they don't want to do it because they're not, that interest isn't there already. So it's things generally work out better when people reach out to you. As much as I do try to hustle with that stuff, it's just one of those things. It's like, I think when the time's right, it'll happen, you know?
We're actually like in a pretty good spot too, where this is like the first time we kind of haven't had too many plans moving forward as well. So
it's too fucking hot to play shows this time of the
year. Yeah, it's pretty hot. Like,
Yeah,
but finishing the album and that too, I mean, that's kind of been a real focus for the moment as well. I mean, so I guess once we've actually like got all the final bits and pieces together, yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to book a tour or what we're going to do yet. So I guess it's probably up in the air at the moment.
That's cool. Yeah. Hey, man, I get that. You guys are you know, riding at your own place, at your own pace. So a couple of things I like to finish up the show asking kind of just off the wall questions just to kind of get it out of that music kind of, it's a job space. So I'm going to finish it up like that, but I do want to say, I greatly appreciate you guys doing this. You guys woke up super early, way over on the other side of the world to do this. And I can't thank you guys enough. And for those podcasts that aren't showing interest, man, they're missing out because you guys are unique and you guys are a phenomenal band. So I just want to say again, I appreciate you guys so much.
Cool. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. So the first just random off the wall question I like to ask is, what's the best band each one of you have ever seen live?
Best band I've ever seen live was Motorhead, for sure. Motorhead and Tool. Like, I saw Tool on their last tour to Australia and holy shit, they blew my mind. And I saw Motorhead. I didn't even have a ticket. I was living with a friend of mine and their now partner was like, I've got a spare ticket to Motorhead, Dan. Do you want to come along? And it was like a weird night. You know, it was like a Wednesday night or something. And I was like, oh, sure, I'll go to Motorhead. And holy shit, like Mickey D on those drums was just thundering the whole time. I loved seeing Lemmy play. It was so good. But interestingly enough, I actually had this conversation with someone the other day and we were talking about the first band we ever saw live and mine was Blink 182.
Wow.
So,
that
was mine.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was but I really love just to see local bands play too. I love seeing local people doing their thing. Like that's what I love. Like I love seeing local bands going for it. Like that's
support
me.
To
that's my thing. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I get Tool a lot. I get that answer often. So they must be phenomenal live. I haven't seen them live, but if as many people say they are as good live as I hear, then I need to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I probably haven't been to as many shows as Dan, but I have had the luxury of seeing a lot of my favorite bands live at some point in my life. I was a bit young to... I remember a lot of the Blink show. I saw them when I was like 11. That was the first show I went to. They were awesome. But I saw in 2018, last time Royal Blood and Queens of Stone Age came out, I saw them both within the span of 3 months. And I got to say, like, it's pretty obvious that Royal Blood got a lot of their influence from Queens of Stone Age. But, man, I thought Royal Blood's performance was better. Like, the sound was just amazing. Like, I probably couldn't pin it. Just sounded so much fatter. And it was only two guys up there. Like, they both played at River Stage too. So I'd imagine the sound must have been a lot of the same. But, just to hear Mike Kurt with his bass rig up there like that, that was when I was playing guitar at the time as a three-piece with as your traditional three-piece, and I kind of went away from that. I'm like, man, like I was liking the riffs I was coming up with and the songs, but I'm like, man, I gotta pick up my game. I'm gonna do something like that. And that's what really inspired me to like pick up the bass and try and do that.
Awesome. That's cool, man. That's a good choice. That sounds like a good build too, man. Queens of the Stone Age and Royal Blood sounds like an awesome show.
They played separately. They played a few months apart.
Okay. All right. Cool, man. Next one I have is, if you weren't a musician, what do you think you would be? Like, what are some of your hobbies or maybe some things you're really good at that if you weren't into music, you'd probably be doing that?
Well, we're both working day jobs, so I guess we're doing that right now.
I'm really lucky. As a outside of being a working musician, I actually have another job, which is also kind of my dream job. So I work with disenfranchised young people, and I run like arts and music programs, and we go out like and do things out bush. Like we go out to a farm and we learn about how to, you know, work with the environment, and we get to go out to an Indigenous protection area and spend a lot of time learning about Indigenous culture. And for me personally, like all those things I hold really close to my heart. I love the bush. I love art. I love music. And I love learning about cultures. So for me, like I've got like, I'm super blessed because I get to do all that stuff. And then I get to play shows with my best friends. So like in terms of like dream jobs, I feel like I've got it made, and somehow I'm in like a new position now as a father as well. So,
perfect.
Yeah. So I'm like literally juggling all the time, and everything that I'm juggling is all that I love about my life. So personally, I feel like I've got it made at the moment. So.
Yeah, and that radiates off of you actually. So your positivity from all the things surrounding you actually comes through the way your personality is, man. And that's awesome, dude. You guys have been a ton of fun to talk to.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Did you want my answer or?
Yeah, definitely, man.
So I'm just like working a retail job now to make ends meet and kind of support the band. Like the band is like my number one focus at the minute. But I think in my like kind of later teenage years, I was really into football, and I wanted to make a career out of football. And
wow.
I took it very seriously and ended up kind of making some inroads here and there. But the niggling sensation to form a band is what superseded in the end. So that's what I'm currently doing.
That's cool, man. So all right, next one I have for you guys. What are some common misconceptions you guys hear about that us doofuses in the States think about Australia? Because I'll just say off the top, bucket list. I have got to get down there. But I think, is there just a bunch of wild, crazy animals running around everywhere down there? Is it hot all the time? Just what are some of those weird things you hear about from us that's not really true about Australia?
Yeah, I actually made a TikTok about this very subject a few months ago. But it always irked me how whenever, you know, you tell someone you're from Australia, they're like, whoa, man, how are you alive, dude? That's insane. And it's like, bro, we live in houses like you do, man. Like we're no, good. And
don't believe it.
Yeah. Don't like, you worry about the crocodiles? And you're like, well,
they're literally like the only threat. Like in North America, you got grizzly bears, you got mountain lions, you got all this insane shit.
Or you talk to someone from like South Africa, and you're like, holy crap! Like,
yeah, dude,
all like, these crazy like things that you know, like. They've got these worms that go into your skin on the beach. Like you can't even lie down on the beach. We've got our beaches are sweet. Like,
yeah. Like the snakes and spiders. Yeah. They're abundant here, but that we keep them at bay. Like, I mean, they'll be around the house and like, they're just chilling. They're not out to attack you. They don't hurt you at all. We got anti-venom. Like once in a blue moon, you'll hear someone getting bit by like a brown or something.
I kind of feel like that whole reputation makes us seem like we're way more staunch than we are. Somehow we're like, you know, like fighting off these most dangerous animals in the world every day just to get to work. And it's like this like thing that we just live with red belly black snakes everywhere and all this stuff. And I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like,
it's springtime here now, so it's very abundant. Like there'll be wallabies.
Yeah, I don't want to eat my own words because then like a snake will turn up somewhere. And like, actually, I'll tell you a story about that because my mum said to me, I was living on the beach in Palm Beach on the coast, and my mum came to visit, and we were walking to the beach, and she said, oh, you should put your shoes on, Dan. And I'm like, Mum, what are you talking about? We're going to the beach. Like, why would I put my shoes on? She's like, well, you got to be careful of snakes. And I looked at her and I was like, Mum, I've never ever seen a snake on the beach. And
if they are, they're lost.
No joke. I walked to the beach with my mum and a friggin' snake went past.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, and she's like, you know, when your mum does that, see, I told you so. And like, and I was like, well, I was like, you jinxed me, Mum. Look, now look what you're doing. But everything's pretty good here. It's not That's so bad.
Cool. Yeah, so unless your mom jinxes you with the animals, they're not as crazy as people would seem. And do you guys just eat shrimp all the time? Is that what the big thing is down there, shrimp? Because that's all you hear about.
No, we don't. We don't eat shrimp all the time. It's too expensive. We see all you guys eating shrimp all the time with these awesome big barbecue things that you pull out big pots of stuff and dump it onto a table with corn and all this beautiful stuff. And we're like, holy crap, that's how you should eat. That is good. But I don't know. That's like for in my family, that's like a Christmas time thing. So
if you came down here now, you'd think it's the States. All you see is a Starbucks and a KFC on every corner.
That's true.
It's really not that much different.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, you guys have been so much fun to talk to. I've had a blast with this. Your songs are awesome. The song I want to play, the one I picked of the amazing list you sent me, is a song called Daydreams. Just because it's a banger. I love it, man. I love to crank that thing up and I drive around for work and I've had it on repeat a couple times.
Awesome, man.
Oh, cheers. Thanks. Appreciate it. Glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Tell us where people can stay in contact with you, maybe reach out, maybe buy some merch, maybe listen to the song when it comes out. Just tell the best places people can find your stuff.
Yep. So the best place to reach us to like an annoying extent, because I get like notified on my phone, it would be our Facebook page. If you really want to get in my ear, that's where I'm going to read it. Because if you send us one on Instagram, it's going to go to my requests box. And I might, the whole Instagram message system is weird. Like it's hard to see messages sometimes. The most professional way is through email. Just go to our website and submit it through that. That's the one I'd probably appreciate the most. TikTok, you can message us as well, but that one's a bit harder for me to read once again. So yeah, I would recommend Facebook or email would be the best way to contact us. And yeah, just follow us on all socials because our content can vary across all of them. Everyone's raving about like TikTok and Instagram these days with the video content on there. But Facebook is still one of the top places to interact because we can post text and video and links and just the whole shebang, whereas all the other sites is like one or the other. So,
and you can buy stuff off our website too. Yeah, so that's just atticuschimps.net, right?
No.com.
No.com. There you go.
The domain. It's ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I don't buy my stuff off the.
No, he just likes to give it away for free.
I'm the guy that gives shit away all the time. Yeah, so
to kiss ass to all the industry.
Yeah, that's me. I give shit away all the time. There's two things I do: is I'm always like giving stuff away, and I won't tell you the other one. That's all right.
I get it, man. Hey, so I don't know if I got cut off, but tell us a little bit about the song Daydreams. That's the one we're going to play here to wrap up the show. And again, man, you guys have been awesome. But yeah, I want to hear a little bit about what that song means to you guys. Maybe a little bit about where this name for the band came from as well.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with the band name. So Atticus Chimps, it was way back in 2016. The name's become a bit of a meme now. I don't know that I like it as much as I did back then, but it is what it is. We were just brainstorming for a band name because we needed one. We had a show coming up. We didn't have one yet. And our bassist at the time suggested the Chimps. And I thought that was really cool because it's a bit of a gimmick. It's a logo. It anthropomorphizes the band a bit. There was already a band called the Chimps. So I thought, well, at the time we were playing in an attic. So I thought, what about Attic Chimps? And then that reminded me of the fictional character from To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch, and it ended up being Atticus Chimps, which was also, there was a 90s punk band called Atticus as well. I think Travis Bark or a lot of the Blink band used to have that little Atticus with a dead bird upside down on it. And I got a sticker of that in my guitar and it all just flowed out like that.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. As for Daydreams, that song, that's like the third incarnation of that song now. So I originally read that years ago, but I changed it because one of our former drummers didn't really like it. And I'm not really, like, I can be stubborn at times, but if people within the band have feedback, I like listening to it because, like, they're not just a band member trying to, stamp their authority, they're also a person that has taste and interests as well. And I'm like, well, if
they're thank one you, of the Sam. Few, thank you. One of the few people I appreciate that.
if they're one of the few people that have heard it and they didn't really like it, it's like, well, that's probably going to be representative of how a lot of people feel. So I'll try and change it. And yeah, we recorded it. It was the first song we recorded together a couple of years ago. And we've since grown a bit since then and developed. And I've just thought of ways it could be better. So we've since turned that into like a demo, quote unquote. And
that was actually, that song is probably pretty evident of where we were, where we started in terms of recording. And I guess somewhere where we've started to move to, because, and that song in particular that you can, I personally love our new version of it because I just feel like it has just more body to it. Like it just feels like a, it feels more full to me, the whole thing. Yeah. So the way we play it is more solid. The way that we connect together is just more, just, I don't know. It feels like we're more holistic in our, in what we do.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Just, so
yeah, we shortened it up a bit, tightened up a few things. The melody is actually the closer to the original melody I wrote for it, but yeah, we had to change it back to this, so we decided to, because we found that the opening line of it in the original demo was a little bit too close to a Coldplay song. Weirdly enough, even though you wouldn't think Coldplay when you listen to our music, it was one of those accidental things that happened. And the producer and I kind of looked at him like, yeah, we should probably change that a bit.
Yeah, you know how you get something stuck in your head, then you're like, it's like you can't unsee it. You're like, once you got the melody in or whatever, you're like, oh my God, I've got this melody in my head now. I can't stop thinking about Coldplay when we're playing our song. So like, so we had to do something
about
that.
He was the one that actually brought my attention to it. And usually I'm the one with the crazy good music here, but he started singing this Coldplay song. I'm like, fuck, you're right. It does sound like that. Yeah. So yeah, we had to change that, shortened up the chorus a bit, and just a few production tweaks as well, just to make it sound a bit fatter and more like our live sound.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, this was Dan and Sam of the awesome band Atticus Chimps. Their brand new album, Space Exploitation, comes out November 3rd. Make sure you guys get it. Make sure you listen to it. And check out the song called Daydreams. That's not a Coldplay song. Not a Coldplay song.
Not a Coldplay song.
I appreciate you guys so much. Hey, take care. I'm going to stay in touch, man. Y'all are the best.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers, Metal Groove. Appreciate it.
Hey, that's the show for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And join us here at the Thrill Me Podcast Network, where you can check out phenomenal shows like Haunters Podcast, The Review of Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Core Memory Unlocked. We greatly appreciate you. And until next time, stay metal.